Today's daf is Sukkah daf Chaf Gimel. We are holding on daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to talk about building a sukkah on top of a wagon, on top of a boat, on top of a tree, on top of an animal. All these kinds of cases. The Gemara is going to have a machlokas tanaim about a sukkah on a boat and if it can withstand different types of winds. What the halach is going to be. We're also going to mention machlokas tanaim, even though the Mishnah takes a stand one way. We're going to have a machlokas tanaim about a sukkah on an animal that it's actually machlokas tanaim. Even though we only have one sheet in the Mishnah, we have machlokes tanaim about a behema being used as a dofen l'sukkah as well. Can you use a behema as a wall of a sukkah? And we have a whole list of items that at least one of the tanaim holds that a behema cannot be used for because they're for a whole set of different halachos. We have two different svaras why the sheet of Reb Meir is that we do not allow a behema to be used as a dofen l'sukkah. And on the bottom of the Amud, we go through why each one doesn't want to say like the other one and what the nafkaminas might be between the two opinions as to why a behema cannot be used as a dofen l'sukkah. And then in Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to clarify who is and who is not choshesh l'misa by different halachos, meaning by it starts with a behema being used as a dofen l'sukkah. Do you have to worry that the animal is going to drop dead at any time and then you're not going to have a wall of your sukkah? So we're going to discuss being choshesh l'misa in general. The person gives a get to his wife and goes to Medina Siyam. So do we assume that he's dead the second we don't see him anymore? When it comes to Trumas and Maestros, do we assume that that a barrel might break? That's considered to be similar to be Choshesh Lemisa. So that's going to lead us right into the Sugya of Breira, which is going to take us into tomorrow's Daf Be'ezras Hashem. So let's pick up now from the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Beis and Beis. Ha'osa Sukaso Barosha Agala O Barosha Svina K'sherin Va'olna Biyomtov. K'sher Va'olna Biyomtov. That if a person makes a sukkah on top of a wagon or on top of a boat, so such a sukkah is kosher. Not only is it kosher for Chalamoed, but you're even allowed to go into such a sukkah on Yom Tov. There's no problem with going into it on Yom Tov. So Rashi says that really that's not a great chiddush that Olna be Yom Tov, but a mishum to bayilam is na seifa ve'ein olin tana resha va'olin. Since we're going to have in the seifa cases where you're not allowed to go into a sukkah on Yom Tov, even though the sukkah is kosher, so in the resha we mentioned the halacha that olin, that not only is the sukkah kosher, but that you're even allowed to go in it on Yom Tov. But really, there's no chiddush in that you're allowed to go into a sukkah that's on an agala or a svina on Yom Tov itself. The Rashash writes that maybe there is a chiddush. Maybe the point of the mission is to teach us, like the sheet of the Rashbam, quoted in Tosfos Neirv and Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, that you're allowed to go in a boat even on Shabbos itself. But according to the Gaonim, it's usher to go onto a boat on Shabbos, even if the boat is tied down, unless the boat is on the karka. As long as the boat's in the water, according to Sheet of the Gaonim, you're not allowed to go into a boat on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Tiferes Yisrael, the Mishnah says that maybe the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even according to those shitos that you're not allowed to go into a boat on Yom Tov, maybe over here the Tzorach Mitzvah they weren't goes there, and you would be allowed on Yom Tov because there's the Tzorach Mitzvah to be mekayim the Mitzvah of Sukkah. So that's what if you make a Sukkah on top of a wagon or on top of a boat. What if Barosh Ha'ila and Al Gabi Gamal, you make the Sukkah on top of a tree or on top of a camel, so then Ksheira, the Sukkah itself is kosher, you're allowed to use it on a Chalam Oed, but Ve'ein Al Nabi Yom Tov. You're not allowed to go into such a Sukkah on Yom Tov. So but it is kosher, which means you're allowed to use it on a Chalam Oed. Rashi adds, not only is it kosher in that you're allowed to use it on a Chalam Oed, Ksheira L'Chol Shem Oed, Va'af Bi Yom Tov, Im Avar Va'ala La Yatsi Yidei Chavas. So Rashi says, you're not allowed to go in it on Yom Tov, but if you did go in it on Yom Tov, you're still Yotzei the Mitzvah of Sukkah. That's what it means that it's Ksheira, that not only is it usable for Chol HaMoed, and granted, you're not allowed to go in it on Yom Tov, but if you do go in such a Sukkah on Yom Tov, you climb the tree, you go on the animal, and get into that Sukkah on Yom Tov, you're still Yotzei the Mitzvah of Sukkah. So the Prima Gadim just raises the obvious question, what do you mean you're Yotzei if you go in it on Yom Tov? Whatever happened to Mitzvah Baba Avera? Isn't this a classic example of a mitzvah baba avera? There's an issur to go in a tree, there's an issur to go in the animal in Yom Tov. You went in it, so that's the only way you were able to accomplish the mitzvah. So it should be possible, mishum mitzvah baba avera. So in the Tshuva's Torah's Chesed, Simulam Ralph, he quotes his Metarets that it's Mashman Yerushalmi that the whole Psul Mitzvah Baba Avera is only when the Isser is in the Chefza Shal Mitzvah, like a Lulav HaGazel. That Chefza Shal Mitzvah of the Lulav is problematic. He did an Avera with the Chefza Shal Mitzvah. But when the Isser is not in the Chefza itself, it's the Yom that's Gorim the Isser, it's the day that causes it to be Aser, so then maybe there's no concern of Mitzvah Baba. And the beauty says that we're not going to pass the mitzvah baba avera. We're only going to pass the mitzvah baba avera where if you were not yotzei the chiyuv of the mitzvah, then the isser would go away. Meaning that you would solve the problem by just not doing the mitzvah. You would solve the avera problem by not doing the mitzvah. For example, lulav hagazel. The way to solve lulav hagazel is by returning it. So if instead of doing the mitzvah you would just return it, then you could solve your avera problem. So then we're going to say it's a mitzvah baba avera by case of the lulav, but something that even if you were not mekayim the mitzvah, it's too late. The avera is already over. You can't be misakin the avera, so then it's not shayach psul of mitzvah baba avera. So the explanation over here would be if you were ola in the ilan on yom tov b'mezid, there's a knas that you're not allowed to come down. The Shulchan Aruch passes that explicitly. Simin shulam advav that if you go, you climb a tree on Shabbos, so they made a knas that you're not allowed to come down from the tree. So it's not a mitzvah baba avera when you stay there, because not staying there is not going to solve your avera. Adrabah, you're not allowed to not stay there. You have to stay there. So it's not going to solve your avera to not stay there. So he said, maybe that's why the Achronim point out, that's why Rashi says, im avar, lashon of mezid, that he was over, b'mezid, and he went up in that tree. But if he went b'shogeg into the tree, the halach is there's no knas. If a person climbed the tree b'shogeg, halach is he's allowed to get down. So then he could solve his avera problem. Well, if he could solve his avera problem, then he's not mekayim the mitzvah. Then a taka would be a mitzvah baba avera to continue to stay there. But it's only when he, ironically, when he did it b'mezid, that he's going to be able to get the mitzvah of sukkah by staying there, because getting out of the tree is not going to solve his avera problem. It's just going to be another avera. It's going to be an extra avera if he tries to get out of the tree. So that's if he makes a sukkah on a tree or on a gummel. Now the Mishnah goes on to say, what about if you use the tree to support the sukkah? Shtayim bi'ilan va'achas bidei adam. Let's say you have on two sides the sukkah is supported by a tree, and on one side it's supported by a wall that you have built up. Oshtayim bidei adam va'achas bi'ilan, or you have two walls supported in the normal way and one supported by a tree. Ksheira ve'ena labiyamtav. Such a sukkah is kasher for Chol HaMoed, but you're not allowed to go in such a sukkah on Yantiv. Shalosh bidei adam va'achas bi'ilan. But if three of the sides of the sukkah are supported by regular walls, and there's only one side that's supported by a tree, so then it's kosher, you're even allowed to go into it on Yom Tov. Why? It's being partially supported by a tree. Zaklal, the rule is as follows. Kol sheyinatel ilan v'yichol lamud b'fnei atzma. If the tree weren't here, would this sukkah be able to stand? So if it's getting support on three sides from normal walls without the tree, so it would be able to stand without the tree, and therefore it's kosher, you could be olam labiyom tov. But if it would not be able to stand without the support of the tree, then that's called being mishtamish b'ilan, then you're not allowed to go into it on yom tov. The Achronim discuss, what if you have two walls that are supported b'dei adam and not by ilan, and the third wall is b'ilan, but the two walls that are supported b'dei adam are parallel to each other, not perpendicular to each other. It's two opposite walls. So the chara then, if you were to remove the tree, it would still be able to stand. So are the numbers lav dafka and the klal is dafka? Or is the klal lav dafka and the numbers are dafka? So Pashto says the klal is dafka. If we say a zeh klal, the Rishonim already talked about this. The Ran writes that the zeh klal comes l'rabos, that if you have the two mechitzos b'dei adam that are not smuchos of the zoo, like Mizrach and Safon, rather it's Echad mul hasheni, it's one across from the other. You have Mizrach and Marav, or Tzafon v'Darom. So the sukkah could be somech on it, so the sukkah could still be supported by it. Even if you would take away the tree, the sukkah would still stand. So then the halach would be that it's all labi yom tov. It's just the Mishnah just picks an example of shlosh b'dei adam all labi yom tov, because then no matter how it's positioned, it's always going to be able to be supported without the tree. But in a chinami, you can make it in such a way where only two walls are supported b'dei adam, and it would still be olin la b'yom tov. Okay,
it wouldn't be a kosher. It wouldn't be a kosher sukkah.
No, you still have, we're talking about, you still have three walls, you have four walls, but we're talking about what supports the bottom of the sukkah, meaning the floor of the sukkah is up in the tree, so what's holding that floor up? So if there's a tree holding it up on one side, and walls that you've built down to the ground supporting it on the other side, so that's what we're talking about. So it'll still be kosher because you still definitely have enough walls. Okay, so it says the Gemara, we said at the beginning of the Mishnah that if you make a sukkah Barosh HaGalo or Barosh HaSvina, it's totally kosher, you can go in it on Yantif even, it's absolutely no problem. So the Gemara just points out, that is not so kosher. It's a machlok as Tanaim. Mani masnisin Rabbi Akivihi. The author of our Mishnah must be Rabbi Akiva. Ditanya, because we have a Braisa, Ha'os Sukkaso Barosh HaSvina, person makes a sukkah on top of a boat, Rabban Gamliel posel Rabbi Akiva machshir. Rabban Gamliel holds it's posel. It's only Rabbi Akiva who says that it's kosher. So when our Mishnah says that it's kosher to make a sukkah on a boat, must be assuming like Rabbi Akiva, not like Rabban Gamliel. Now, when we had this brisa earlier, in Zayinim and Beis, you see the Mesoros HaShas points you to Zayinim and Beis, over there the brisa said, not just Barosh HaSfina, but also Barosh HaAgala. That was also Machlokas Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. Now we're only quoting the Braisa about Barosh HaSvina. So Rashi over there says that when Leo apostles, because an agala is nayud, it's constantly shaking, so it's more like a diras arai. Tosa says that maybe they argue about Barosh HaGala if it's able to withstand a ruach metzuya diabasha and not a ruach metzuya diyam because it's nayud. I mean, we're going to get into that whole discussion now of or shortly about what type of wind it needs to be able to withstand. But Tosus quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that a sukkah Barosh HaGala there is no machlokas about, that machlokas is only Barosh HaSvina, but Barosh HaGala it's going to be kasha l'kuli alma, that the chisaron of nayid is not going to be a problem, because when we talk about the boat we don't mention the chisaron of nayid, we just keep talking about whether the wind is going to blow it off, the wind won't blow it off. What do you mean? If nayid were a problem, if the fact that it could shake were a problem, forget about the wind, it's shaking whenever you're on a boat, it's always shaking, so that itself should be a problem. So that's the raya of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rach, that they would not be cholik about a sukkah Barosh HaGala. It's very nogel l'maisa when you have a sukkah on the back of a car or a truck, that the Chabadniks run around with a sukkah on a truck. So the truth is it's not really so nogel l'maisa, because generally speaking when they use it, the truck is parked. So once it's parked, it's not moving, so then it's not naid and it's nothing. Then it's just the same thing as having a sukkah on the ground. The Prima Gadim Paschal, the sukkah on an agal is possible when the agala is moving, because nayid is a chisaron, and the Bikur Yaakov says no, even that's not a problem, because that's only alibi de Rabbi Gamliel. We pass on like Rabbi Akiva anyway that it's going to be kosher, so anyway it's not going to be a problem. But for sure, a parked truck with a sukkah on the back is definitely not a problem. Anyway, so the Gemara tells a story. Ma'aser Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva shoyban b'sfina. One time, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva were traveling on a boat. Amud Rabbi Akiva vasa sukkah Barosh HaSvina. So it was sukkahs. So Rabbi Akiva decided to make a sukkah on the boat, on the top of the boat. L'machar nashva ruach v'akartav. Next day, his sukkah blew away. A wind came and blew away his sukkah. So Amud Rabbi Gamliel, who would not build a sukkah on a boat because he held that it's possible. So Gamliel says to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, heichan sukkascha. Hey Akiva, where's that sukkah of yours? Meaning he was trying to show him that he did the wrong thing by building the sukkah on the boat. So the Aruch Tanar explains that it sounds from the Braisa that Rabbi Akiva is the only one that built the sukkah. Rabbi Gamliel didn't even bother making a sukkah. But l'chora, that's difficult, because if even Rabbi Gamliel would agree, and we're about to see that even Rabbi Gamliel will agree that if a sukkah can withstand a ruach of the yam, that even Rabbi Gamliel would agree the sukkah is kosher, so why didn't Rabbi Gamliel build a sukkah on the boat that could withstand a ruach of the yam? Why would he just not build a sukkah at all and just mock Rabbi Akiva's efforts to make a sukkah? He should have built his own sukkah. So the Aruch Lenar says, yeah, Rabbi Gamliel did build his own sukkah, and he chose a different spot, not the Rosh HaSvina, because the Rosh HaSvina is where it's most windy, and he thought that was the worst spot you could possibly choose. You would need to choose a spot where it could withstand any ruchos that it's going to have to face. But that's quite a chiddush in the story, that the Aruch Lenar thinks that Rabbi Gamliel himself actually made a sukkah. So Asema says, no, the Rabbi Gamliel didn't make a sukkah because there was nowhere to make one. There was nowhere that actually worked. If it would have been possible to make a sukkah, he would have. But he held that it's on his Rachmanapatri. They weren't able to make a sukkah. aside from the fact that they're holchei derech, which anyway are probably potter from sukkah, but he held he couldn't make a sukkah, so that's why he didn't make a sukkah. So Amar Abaye comments, the kuli alma hecha deini chol lamed bruach mitzuyah diabasha lo klumhi. If you build a sukkah that could not withstand a regular common wind that we would normally find on dry land, then everyone would agree, even Rabbi Akiva would agree, such a sukkah is totally worthless. Yichol lamed b'sheinu mitzuyah diabasha kuli alma lepli. If the sukkah that you build on the boat is able to withstand an unusual wind, then everyone agrees, meaning an unusually strong wind, then everyone would agree that the sukkah is kosher. Even Rabbi Gamliel would agree the sukkah is kosher. So where's the machlokas? Ki pligi, b'diyichol lamed b'ruach mitzuyah diyabasha, v'en yichol lamed, we change the gears to b'ruach mitzuyah diyam. That it's able to withstand the ruach mitzuyah diyabasha, it's able to withstand a common wind that you would find on dry land, but it's not able to withstand the common wind you would find in the ocean, or which is the equivalent of a ruach she'ena mitzuyah diyabasha, an uncommon dry land wind. So Rabbi Gamliel savor sukkah diras keva bi'inan. Rabbi Gamliel holds that a sukkah needs to be a diras keva. V'kivin dein yichol lamed b'ruach mitzuyah diyam lo klumi. And since it's not able to withstand the ruach mitzuyah of the yam, so it's worthless because it's not a diras keva. Rabbi Kiva savor sukkah diras arai bi'inan. Rabbi Kiva holds that a sukkah only needs to be a diras arai. V'kivin yichol lamed b'ruach mitzuyah diyabasha ksheira. And since it's able to withstand a regular wind that you would normally find in the yabasha, so it's going to be kosher, because that's enough to make it a diras arai. All the achronim raise the questions, Fasemis and others, according to Rabbi Kiva, where are you building the sukkah? It's on a boat. The boat is in the yam. So why do I care that it's able to withstand the ruach mitzuyah diyabasha? That's not going to help you when the ruach mitzuyah diyam comes, just like it didn't help Rabbi Akiva when the ruach mitzuyah diyam came and it blew away the whole sukkah. Meaning, if you're on the boat, shouldn't it depend on the boat? Why do we care about the ruach mitzuyah diyabasha at all? So, Svasema suggests that since throughout the year when a person travels by the yam, his dira is always a little bit of a lower level dira than the kind of dira that he has biyabasha. It's always going to be a little bit less of a dira than the kind that he has biyabasha. So since Rabbi Kiva holds dira sarai is good enough biyabasha, so when you're biyam, you could get away with even less than a dira sarai. So in a chinami, it's going to blow away. But Rabbi Kiva holds that's okay because the kind of sukkah that one needs biyam is a notch below the kind of sukkah one needs biyabasha. So even though it's going to likely blow away, that's good enough for a sukkah that's being made biyam. Briskarav points out probably more pasha. The Briskarav on the Rambam Hilchos Sukkah says that when it comes to the din of Eino Omedes Baruch Mitzuyah, we're just defining what's called a mechitza. So the definition of a mechitza is a mechitza that has strength to withstand certain types of winds. It's not about where you are, it's about defining the term mechitza. So for example, Mishnah Brura writes in Siman Tav Reish Lamed that if, let's say, a person builds a sukkah that would not be able to withstand the ruach mitzuyah diabasha, but he builds a sukkah in a place that's surrounded by something that will block any wind, so no wind is going to come whatsoever. But this sukkah, if there were a wind, would not withstand the wind, but you know there's not going to be a wind. Mishbur says that's possible. Why is that possible? So again, like the Brisker Rav, what we're doing over here is defining what's called mechitza. Mechitza is defined as something that's sturdy enough to withstand a certain amount of pressure. It doesn't matter what kind of pressure it's actually going to face. What we look at is whether it's sturdy enough to withstand a certain type of pressure. So that's where Rabbi Kiva holds it's good enough. Now, how do we define what's called a ruach she'enu mitzuya diabasha? How enu mitzuya does it have to be for it to be called the ruach she'enu mitzuya? So the Rashba Maseches Bava Kama, in a totally different context, over there it's talking about the din of Eish, that you're chayiv by Eish only when the Eish was spread by a ruach mitzuya, not by a ruach she'enu mitzuya, because the ruach mitzuya you should have been nizar and you should have been able to protect your Eish from, but by an enu mitzuya you're potter because lo avila suki adaite, you never should have thought of it. But in that context, the Rashba quotes two days in the Yerushalmi of what the definition of Eino Mitzuyah is. One definition of one day in the Yerushalmi is that the definition of Eino Mitzuyah is like a tornado, like a hurricane, something that's extremely unusual. It would be like a natural disaster kind of wind. So it does happen, but only once in a very, very long while, and when it happens, people take notice. The other day in the Yerushalmi is no. Eino Mitzuyah means you would go outside and say, wow, it's really windy today. But that's all. It's something that happens on a more frequent basis, but it's just not the typical day. It's not your typical breeze degrees that you would have on your typical day. So that would obviously have big nafkaminas in terms of defining what would be a sturdy enough sukkah, what would not be a sturdy enough sukkah. So it's 2 days in the Yerushalmi. Says Gemara further, all gabi gamel. So the Mishnah had said that if you build a sukkah on a tree or on a camel, the sukkah is kosher, but you're not allowed to go into such a sukkah on Yantiv. So Gemara says, even though the Mishnah didn't record any machlokas about this, it is subject to machlokas. Masnis in money, Rabbi Meir hi. Our Mishnah is assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Meir, but it's really a machlokas. Titanya, ha'osa sukkas al gabi behema, if a person makes a sukkah on top of an animal, Rabbi Meir machshir, Rabbi Meir says it's kosher sukkah, but Rabbi Yehuda posel, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not a kosher sukkah. Time with Rabbi Yehuda, what would be the problem with such a sukkah that's built on an animal? Amar Kra, Pasuk says, Chag ha-sukos tasalucha shivas yamim, that you're supposed to make sukkos for 7 days. And we darshan from there, sukkah ru'i l'shiva shma sukkah, that only a sukkah that's actually ru'i to use for 7 days is called a sukkah. Sukkah she'en ru'i l'shiva lo shma sukkah. If a sukkah could not be used for 7 days, so it's not going to be a kashra sukkah. And if you make a sukkah on top of a behema, you're not able to use it for all 7 days, because we learned that in Shabbos and Yantif, you're not allowed to go on a behema on Shabbos Yantif, so it's not a sukkah that's ru'iyah l'shiva. Now Rashi says that the sukkah that's on al gabi agamel is not ru'iyah for 7 days, because it's not even ru'iyah for the first day, because the first day is Yantif. And that's the logical thing to say, that Shabbos and Yantif, you're not allowed to climb behema, so you might as well just get it right off the bat. Day one, it's already not ru'iyah, so mela, it's not ru'iyah l'shiva. The Ritva says differently, so that's what raises some eyebrows in the Achronim. The Ritva says it's not ru'iyah l'shiva because it's not ru'iyah for Shabbos. In every sukkah, there's a Shabbos somewhere in the Sukkot, so it's going to be a problem because it's not right for Shabbos. Wait a second, what about the first day of Yantif? Rashi had a good point. Forget about Shabbos. It's not even right to go on the first day of Yantif. So the Aruch, there are several explanations of what the Ritva was thinking. The Aruch Liner suggests that the Ritva, the reason the Ritva didn't mention Yantif is because he holds the Chum were not gozer, not to climb a tree when you have a mitzvah chiyuvis. And since on the first night of Sukkah, you have a mitzvah chiyuvis in the Sukkah, the rest of the days of Sukkah you could choose not to eat anything that requires sukkah. You could choose to eat somewhere, something that's shahakal or whatever. You don't have to necessarily go in a sukkah. But on the first night of sukkahs, we have gezeirah shava tesvav, where we learn chag sukkahs from chag matzos. And just like on the first night of Pesach, you have to eat a gezeirah of matzah. So on the first night of sukkahs, you need to eat a decent amount of, you need to eat the amount of food that would require you to sit in the sukkah, and you have to sit in the sukkah for that amount of food. So you need to be in the sukkah, machlokes whether it's gezeirah or kubeta, but you need to sit in the sukkah on the first night of sukkah. It's a mitzvah chiyuvis. So it could be the Rabbanon would never go there not to climb a behema or an ilan on the first night of sukkahs, and that's why the Ritva says, yeah, but Shabbos is still going to be a problem for you. Even though the first night of sukkahs might not be a problem for the person who has a sukkah on top of a behema or an ilan, Shabbos is still going to be a problem. Prima Gadim says that on Yantif it's mutter because it's tzorech ochel nefesh. If you have nowhere else that you're able to eat, the only place that you're allowed to eat is this sukkah, so that's a mimela becomes an ochel nefesh need. Big nafkamina between the Prima Gadim and the Aruch Liner. According to the Aruch Liner, according to the Aruch Liner, would be mutter only on the first night of Yom Tov, but not on the first day of Yom Tov. Whereas according to the Prima Gadim, it's mutter even on the daytime of Yom Tov. It's only asur on Shabbos, because Shabbos there is no heter of ochel nefesh. So those are the suggestions of what the Ritva was thinking. The Mikrei Kodesh with Tzvi Pesach Frank suggests a third possibility, that the Ritva holds that ru'i l'shiva doesn't mean that it's right for Shiva Simei Achad. That maybe when you say that you need a sukkah ru'i l'shiva, this is quite a chiddush, that maybe the Ritva understood sukkari l'shiva means that this would be a place that would be right to use on any random 7 days throughout the year. But it doesn't have to be right for Shiva Simei Achad. That since the Chag is 7 days long, so you need a kind of dwelling that normally you could use for 7 days. So that's why the Ritva Dafka picks on Shabbos, because there's nothing to do with Yantif. On Yantif, it doesn't have to be Ra'i for all the days of Yantif. It just needs to be Ra'i for days. That's, again, that's quite a Chiddush. Pasha says Ra'i l'shiva means it has to be Ra'i for these 7 days, for the 7 days of Sukkot. Okay, so that's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. That the reason it's no good is because it's not Ra'i l'shiva. Rabbi Meir, Hanami midarais of Mikhsa Chazia, Rabbanu de Gazruba. Rabbi Meir would say, yes, it is Roy Lashiva on a Doraisa level. It's only on a Drabbanan level that it's not Roy Lashiva. The whole din of not climbing a tree or going on an animal is all a din midarabanan. So the Ritva writes, Rabbi Yehuda would also hold that the issue to go on a behemoth is only midrabanan, but the Rabbi Yehuda would hold that if it's not Roy even because of a tam midrabanan, that's still called Eina Roy Lashiva. Meaning, when the Torah says that a sukkah needs to be Roy Lashiva, it means that if it's not Roy Lashiva, for whatever reason it may be, if practically you can't use a Lashiva, we don't care whether it's Doraisa or Drabanan, but if at the end of the day you can't use it, Lashiva mele to psul Doraisa in the sukkah. Whereas Rameir would say, no, a psul Doraisa can only come about when there's a problem midoraisa. But over here, climbing a tree, climbing an animal is only a problem midrabanan. So that's the question, whether something that's not Roy midrabanan is considered to be not Roy for sukkah on a Doraisa level. The explanation that they give for a mayor is that anytime they have an issur drabanan, it's not an issur, as we've discussed a few times already in this Masechta, that the Nesivus writes in Reish Lamed Aleph, that whenever you have an issur drabanan, it's not an issur chefza, it's always an issur gavra. So there's nothing wrong with the chefza itself. So when there's only an issur drabanan, you can't call it a sukkah she'in ru'uya. You can't say the sukkah is a chefza of a sukkah she'in ru'uya. No, the sukkah is perfectly fine. You may not be allowed to go into it, but the sukkah is totally fine. So it is a sukkah that's ru'uya l'shiva. Okay, asal the behema dofen l'sukkah. Now we're going to discuss a case that the Mishnah did not discuss. What if you make you make a behema into a dofen l'sukkah? Actually, before we get to that, there are a couple of other sukkahs that we saw that relate to this ru'uya l'shiva discussion. The Gemara earlier on the Zayin Amar Aleph spoke about if you sikeich al gabay mavoi sheish ba lechi, so that sukkah is kosher on Shabbos during Yontif, only on the Shabbos within the Yontif, because migud avidofen l'Shabbos avidofen l'sukkah, that since the lechi is a good enough wall for Shabbos and it's matir carrying in the mavoi, so we allow that lechi to be used as a dofen l'sukkah on the Shabbos of Sukkot. So the Achronim raised the question, wait a second, it's Eina Ru'uya l'shiva. You can't use it for all 7 days of Sukkot, meaning it's only good for the Shabbos of Sukkot. So if it's Eina Ru'uya l'shiva, then it should be no good, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you need it to be Ru'uya l'shiva. So there are three different approaches in the Achronim. Marchesha says that the psul of Eina Ru'uya l'shiva is only psul in the schach, not in the defanos, that there's no issue of defanos not being Ru'uya l'shiva. It's a chiddush. Yeshua Yaakov suggests that we're talking about the third wall was made al yaday ilan, so he's also quite a chiddush. So he makes a big ukimta. He says the whole case of the mavoi with the lechi and using the lechi was where you had a third wall, but that third wall was al yaday ilan, so that third wall is no good for Shabbos. But you could use the lechi for Shabbos as the third wall, and during the rest of the days you can't use the lechi, but you could use the ilan as the third wall. So mele between all the days it will be roy. But that's again quite an ukimta to make. The Aruch Haner suggests what's the most requires the least least amount of wild chiddush to suggest. The Aruch Haner suggests that if you make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed after Shabbos is already over, then we don't say the Migo. Then Ein Chinami, the sukkah's pasul. But he says, when we say Migo Davidofel on the Shabbos, Davidofel on the sukkah, it means that if you made this sukkah in advance of the Shabbos of Sukkot, then it's going to be kosher throughout the entire Sukkot, even the days that aren't Shabbos. That Migo Davidofel on the Shabbos, Davidofel on the sukkah, it does not only mean that it's kosher on Shabbos, it means that it's going to be kosher throughout the Yom Tov. The only time it's not going to be kosher is if you have no plans to use it on a Shabbos of Sukkot, meaning you only build it on Sunday after the Shabbos of Sukkot is already over. That's the Aruch Haner's suggestion. The other sugya that's relevant to this, that the Rishonim connect to this, is on Daf Yud Gimelim Beis. We spoke about if they were mesachich with yurakos that are going to dry up, so that's considered like avir. And the Gemara says because since when it dries up, it's gonna shrivel and it's gonna fall, so it's command alesnu dami. So the Ritva over there quotes two deus. One day is that the psul is midrabanan, a gezerah that it might dry up and fall down, but midaraisa is perfectly good, and that's how Rashi understands as well. And some say no, that it's psul midaraisa. So the Achronim ask on the Ritva, the sukkah is not roi l'shiva, so how could it possibly be kasher min haTorah? Meaning if it's going to dry up and things are going to fall down, so mel it's not roi l'shiva. So that's where Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi points out that the whole din of sukkah shein roi l'shiva is only when the chisaron is here already now, and because of this chisaron that exists right now, it's not going to be roi l'shiva. But if we're just predicting a chisaron that's going to come, that's not going to take away the roi l'shiva element. Okay, so back in the Gemara now. Now we move on to the case of where you use an animal not to support the floor of the sukkah, you use it as a wall of the sukkah. So I saw the behema dofin the sukkah. Let's say you use an animal as one of the walls of the sukkah. Remeir posel Rabbi Demachshir. Remeir says posel. Rabbi Yudol does kosher. Shai Remeir Omer called davar sheish bo ruach chayim. Enos noso, anything that is living, you're not allowed to use for the following halachos. Lo dofin l'sukkah, you can't use it as a wall of a sukkah. V'lo lechi l'mavoy, you can't use it as a lechi to block off the entranceway of a mavoy. V'lo pasin l'biraos, when you have a well on Shabbos where we allow the olei regalim to draw water from the well, as long as they make four partitions in the corners that are one amma by one amma, you're not allowed to use the animal as one of the pasi biraos, as one of those partitions. V'lo gola l'kever, you're also not allowed to use it as a gola l'kever. Major machlok we shown him what gola lekever means. Rashi always says it's a kisui ha'aron, it's the covering of the aron. Tos says no, it's a kisui ha'kever, it's not a kisui of the aron. Tos says many kashas in Rashi, one of them is this, that why would you ever use a behema as a kisui of the aron, to put it over the kever, to mark off the kever, to know where the kever is, fine, maybe they'll use it temporarily for that, but to cover the aron, you can use a behema as a kisui la'aron. And the Acharon defend Rashi that sometimes we give examples that aren't the most common examples in Shas, just to set a theoretical hypothetical halacha in our mind so that we could figure out other halachas from it. But also it says la kever, it doesn't say just golo, it says golo la kever, not golo lo aron. Rash says the kisui and the aron. Okay, but that's a machlokas throughout Shas, what golo means. Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer afin kosvon lev gite noshim. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says even further, you're not allowed to write a get on anything that has ruachayim, on anything that's alive. So my time is Rameir. What's the svar for Rameir? Rameir holds that it's possible to use an animal as a wall of the sukkah. What's his concern? Let's forget all these other halachas that Rameir said you're also not allowed to use an animal for, but just on a basic level. By wall of a sukkah, why is it that an animal is not kosher to be used for the wall of a sukkah? So two possibilities. Abaye Amar Shema Tamus. Abaye says that the animal might die, and out of a concern that the animal might die, and then you're going to be stuck without a wall, so that's why we tell you not to use the animal as a wall of a sukkah. Rabbi Zera Amar Shema Tivrach. Rabbi Zera says, no, we're not worried the animal's going to die, we're worried the animal's going to escape, it's going to run away. So if it runs away, then you're going to be stuck without a wall of your sukkah. So bepil kasher kuliyam lo pligi. Let's say you have an elephant that you tied down really well to use as the wall of the sukkah. So then everyone agrees that's going to be okay, because none of those concerns exist. Dinami mayis yesh bin of laso yud. Even if it dies, the nevela of a dead elephant is still 10 tfachim high, so it's still going to be perfectly okay. Ki pligi bepil she'eno kasher. The machlokas is if you have an elephant that's not tied down. So the man demar shem tamos lo cheshinon. If the concern is death, so you don't have to worry about the animal dying, because even if it does die, it's still going to be a kasher wall. But if the concern is that the animal is going to run away, well, if you have an elephant and you forget to tie it down, it still might run away. You still have that concern of Shema Tivrach. So says Gemara, both of these seem like legitimate concerns. Why would you choose one concern over the other? So the man yom gzera Shema Tamos necho Shema Tivrach. If you're worried that the animal is going to die, why aren't you worried that the animal might run away? So Gemara says, you're right. You have to be worried that the animal is going to run away. When the elephant is not tied down, there is no machlokas. Of course you have to be concerned it's going to run away. That's not going to be kosher. Keep ligi bibei makshura. The whole machlokas is only assuming the animal is tied down. The one that's concerned that it's going to die is going to have to worry about an animal that's tied down as well. But if your only concern is it's going to run away, then you have nothing to be concerned about when the animal is tied down. So the Meandem Gzeres Shematibrach Necho Shematamos. But why not say the other way? According to, meaning now we're asking the question in the other direction. The one that's concerned that it might run away, isn't Shematamos a reasonable concern also? Why isn't he concerned about Shematamos? So it says Gemara Misa Lo Shchicha, that he's not concerned Shematamos because that's much less common than running away. Animals run away all the time. They only die once in their lives. So Misa is much less common than running away. Vayikar Ravcha. So actually, before we get to Vayikar Ravcha, so this is all the it's funny the example that the Gemara chose to give of a wanted to pick a really big animal that even if it dies and kills over, it's still going to be 10 tefachim tall. So you pick a peel, which makes sense. You pick an elephant. There is a Gemara Mesach Shabbos of Chavches Amud Beis where the Gemara Darshan is about tefillin that it can only be made by on or behema tahore. You're not allowed to use non kosher animals, and we learn from pasuk Mantia Torah Hashem Beficha that it needs to be from a davra mutar beficha, from something that's kosher la'achila, and that's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch Nachlas Tefillin in Simin Lamed Beis and Arachaim Magen Avraham in Simin Taf Kuf Pei Vav Sifkat Gimel writes Mikan Nilmad, from that Gemara, from that halacha about Tefillin being only made on Behemah Torah, we learn that when it comes to a shofar also has to dafka come from a Behemah Torah, not from a Behemah Temeah, because the Ramah writes that it's possible af b'di'evet, even the shofar shall behemos torim are kosher, even though shofar shall behemos torim are kosher b'di'evet, and you don't need a shofar shall ayil dafka, that's only a din l'chadchila, but shofar shall behemah temeah is not kosher. Says Magen Avraham, why not? Why is a shofar shall behemah temeah not kosher? Because hukshu kala mitzvos l'tfilin. We compare all mitzvos to tfilin. Where do we compare all mitzvos to tfilin? Kiddushin daflamet hey. In the Gemara is about mitzvah shazman grama, so we compare all mitzvahs to tefillin. Just like tefillin is only from davra mutar b'ficha, all mitzvahs have to come dafka from a davra mutar b'ficha. So Nadav Yehuda says, really? When the Gemara needs to give an example of how to make a sukkah, the Gemara decides to use a peel, a behema temeah, a non-kosher animal, as a dof in the sukkah. That's not mina mutar b'ficha. If you compare all mitzvahs to tefillin, so then it should have to be mina mutar b'ficha as well. So the Achronim suggest that maybe there's a difference between Tashmishe Kedusha, like Tfilin, and Tashmishe Mitzvah, like a Sukkah. The problem is, Magen Avraham spoke about a shofar. Shofar is not Tashmishe Kedusha, shofar is Tashmishe Mitzvah. But a shofar also has its own characteristic of it's considered Lefnai V'Lefnim, it's Lezikaron Kasi. So you have those additional elements of shofar that maybe raise its standard to require Min HaMutar B'Ficha. But the Pashtus is, when it comes to most mitzvahs, you don't need Min HaMutar B'Ficha. Maybe there's room to distinguish between the dofen l'sukkah, which is just the machshir of the sukkah, as opposed to the schach, which is al shema schach kriya sukkah, which is considered the real chepta shel mitzvah. Maybe there's room to distinguish on that level, but you got to say something because the Magen Avraham. What? Yeah. But the question is if it's correct. Right, so obviously it's correct because Gemara says it, but we have to figure out why it's correct in light of that Magen Avraham, or why the Magen Avraham is correct in light of this Gemara. So, Gemara. So you're going to use the animal as a wall of the sukkah. If you have an animal that's large enough, so it's likely that in between the animal's legs there's a lot of empty space. So shouldn't that be a pirza in the wall of the sukkah that's going to ruin the sukkah because you have all that empty space between the animal's legs? Says Gemara, da'avle b'hutza v'dafna. Now we're assuming that you filled in that with shrubbery. You put the stuff in between the animal's legs to fill in the wall. V'dilma rava. But don't we have to be concerned that the animal might start trampling on things? So the meticha ba'ashli mila'el, you tie it on top as well. So the animal doesn't have the ability to move too much. Nami ha'meticha ba'ashli mila'el. Well, wait a second. Then why are you worried that the animal might die? If the whole concern of the animal dying is that it's going to keel over and then you're not going to have to. Well, if you tie it from on top, you have it like on puppet strings, where you're tying the animal from on top, so the animal could die, it's still going to be 10 tefachim tall. So Gemara says, Zimne demokim b'pachas mishosha samuk l'schach. No, it might be that you make it the animal 7 and a mashu tefachim high, tefachim tall, and that's the way you set it up within 3 tefachim of the schach, so you're relying on love it over there. V'kivin demaisa, so when it dies, it's not going to just drop to the ground, but kavtza, it's going to shrivel up a little bit, v'lavadaite, and you're not going to realize that it's shriveled up just enough that now the height of the animal is just under 7 tefachim, and you no longer can have your lover. You're going to be left with a postless sukkah. Good. So that is the That is the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. We have this machlokas: if you use an animal as a dofen l'sukkah, Rav Meir says pasul. Rabbi Yehuda said that it's kosher. And we explained that according to Abaye, at least, the machlokas is about whether we are choshesh shema tamos or not. Rav Meir is choshesh shema tamos, and that's why it's pasul. Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh shema tamos, and that's why it's kosher. So that's the way Abaye explained it. Abaye holds that Rav Meir is choshesh lemisa, and Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh. So now we pick on that point and we question that. Is that true? Does Abaye really hold that Rav Meir is choshesh lemisa and Rabbi Yehuda is not? Umi amar Abaye, Rav Meir chayish lemisa, Rabbi Yehuda lo chayish. Does Abaye really hold that Rav Meir is choshesh lemisa in general and Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh lemisa in general? Vatnan. So this is going to be a lengthy conversation. We're not going to get through the whole conversation today, but we'll at least get started. Vatnan. We have a Mishnah. Bas Yisrael shenises l'kohen. Let's say you have a Bas Yisrael that's married to a Kohen. As soon as Bas Yisrael gets married to a Kohen, she's allowed to eat truma. So she's nises l'kohen v'halach by l'medina siyam. But then her husband goes on a trip l'medina siyam. So ocheles b'truma b'cheska shukayim. Even though she doesn't see him and there's no form of communication with him, she has the right to assume that he's alive, and therefore she can continue to eat truma on the assumption that she is still married to a Kohen, that her husband is still alive. V'ramina nala, and we asked on that Mishnah, wait a second, you don't have to worry, the husband's dead? What about the case, ha'reze giteich sha achas kodem isasi, that if a man gives his wife a get and says, this get should be chal 1 hour before I die, why would a man want to do that? If he wants a divorce, so let him divorce her now. It's so the divorce isn't going to be any good for him if he's almost dead anyway. So what's the purpose? The purpose is to help his wife avoid chalitza, that he doesn't have any children, he has a brother, he doesn't want his wife to have to deal with the brother, with the whole Yibum Chalitza issue, so he tries to make sure that they're divorced before he dies. So he gives her a get, Sha'achas Kodem Isasi. So let's say he's a Kohen, is she allowed to eat Truma? After all, we never know when we're going to die, so it could be that at any moment, it's Sha'achas Kodem Isaso. So Asura Lechel B'Truma Miyad. The Mishnah says, she's not allowed to eat Truma ever, because now she always has to worry that maybe it's Sha'achas Kodem Isaso. So don't you see that we have one Mishnah that says that Bas Shalos Nisis the Kohen and the Kohen goes away, she has the right to assume he's alive, and we have the other Mishnah by Get, where she has at every moment she should be assuming that he's about to die. So the first Mishnah is not Choshesh L'Misa, second Mishnah is Choshesh L'Misa. The fuller sugi is in Maseches Gittin, where it has other answers, but we're focused on Abaye right now. V'amar Abaye lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Meir de lo chayish lemisa, ha Rabbi Yehuda de chayish lemisa. Abaye says no problem. Rabbi Meir is not choshish lemisa. Rabbi Yehuda is choshish lemisa. So the two stam mishnayos, which don't have any names attached to them, just attach names to them, and it's a machlokas between the two mishnayos. Rabbi Meir is the one that's not choshish lemisa. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that is choshish lemisa. So right there is our stira, because over here we said that Abaye holds that Rabbi Meir is Choshesh L'Misa, Rabbi Yehuda is one that says not Choshesh L'Misa. Now it's going to be an easy solution because these two Mishnayos never had names attached to them, so we could attach the names in the opposite direction. So it's an easy solution by just having Abaye switch it around, because it's Abaye talking, this is a Kasha on Abaye. Where does Abaye get the idea that Rabbi Meir is not Choshesh L'Misa, Rabbi Yehuda is Choshesh L'Misa? Detanya, we have a Braisa, Halokeach Yain Mibena Kutim. If a person buys wine from Kutim, Omer, he can say that Shnei Lugin Shani Yasa LaHafrish Harein Truma. The 10 Lugin that I'm going to be Mafrish will be the will be 2 Lugin rather than I'm going to be Mafrish will be Truma. Asara Maiser Rishon. 10 Lugin that I'm going to be Mafrish will be Maiser Rishon. Tisha Maiser Sheni. 9 Lugin that I'm going to be Mafrish are Maiser Sheni. Umechel Visha, and then he should be Mechal the Maiser Sheni. Vishos Miyan, and then he could drink from it right away to Vremer without even actually being Mafrish anything. Alasmach, ladies. It's going to be mafresh later on, so you can drink from it right away. That's Rav Meir's shita. Why? Because Rav Meir is not concerned that before you have a chance to be mafresh these amounts of wine, he's not concerned that the whole barrel is going to break and you'll never get to be able to be mafresh. Why is he not concerned? Because he's not choshesh lemisa. This is an issue of choshesh for the misa of the barrel, so to speak, the misa of the barrel breaking. So Rav Meir is not choshesh. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Osun, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon. Say say it's asr because they are choshesh that shemi yibaka anod. So they're worried that it's going to break. So it's going to turn out that you drank tevel. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda is choshesh for bekias anod, and therefore kol shekein is going to be choshesh for misa. So that's why Abaye said that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's choshesh for misa. Rabbi Meir is not choshesh for misa. But bottom line, it's a stira in Abaye. So it says Mara epuch. Rabbi Meir chayish the misa. Rabbi Yehuda lo chayish the misa. Switch it around. Switch around the opinions. Rabbi Meir is the one that's choshesh the misa. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's not choshesh the misa. We'll get into more about that tomorrow. The details of Rabbi Meir being choshesh, Rabbi Yehuda not being choshesh, but just a couple of ha'aros that Tosfos has over here. Lokeach yayin mi bein akutim. Tosfos points out that the Rabbanon were gozer on yayin of kutim, that it's us or anyone. It's stam yenam. So what we have bigger problems than chumas maisus over here. We have a problem with stam yenam, even if you do take all the chumas maisus. So Tosfos says it must be talking about b'mitar yeno shel kuti, which means that you made sure that a Jew was involved in every step of the winemaking process and that the kuti never touched it. So it never became a concern of stam yenam. The whole concern is only concern of tevel. Or Tosa says maybe this Mishnah was talking about before they were ever gozer on the yayin of kutin. The Gemara Nechulin says that Reb Meir was gozer on the yayin of kutin. However, Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon are difficult. Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon hold that kutim are gerei arayos, that they mamish have a din of goyim. So why is the Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon over here are not worried about that issue? So Tosa says that they had a din of goyim, but the Rabbanim were never gozer on their yayin because they were parush me'avodah zarah. So even though they had a din of goyim, still the Rabbanim did not include them in the Zera on the yayin. The other issue Tosfos raises is that the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Zayin and Beis says that Kutim were very careful about Trumas and Maestros. So if they were careful about Trumas and Maestros, why are we worried about yayin that you can get from Kutim that doesn't have Trumas and Maestros taken off? So Tosfos points out, yeah, they're worried about Trumas and Maestros. They were not worried about Lifnei Ver Lo Sitein Michshal. They understood Lifnei Ver Lo Sitein Michshal in the literal sense, so they weren't worried about being Machshel other people in doing Averos, and that's why if you were to look carefully yayin Bein Akutim, you had the right to assume that Chumash and Maestros were not taken from it. Okay, we'll continue this conversation, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow.